This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is the Friday Morning Show with Leo on Joy 94.9. My next guest has been making music since the early 70s and has toured with the likes of Tina Turner, Chaka Khan and Santana. He was part of Team Delta on last year's season of The Voice. A big Joy welcome to Steve Glisby. Welcome to Joy, Steve.
Ah, hello. It's great being here.
Now, firstly, you've been in the industry a long time. You have toured all over the world. You have released albums. By the age of 67, you auditioned for The Voice last year. What made you take the big leap into reality TV?
A big leap it was, indeed.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever heard anybody describe it quite like that. But yes, it was a little bit of a, taking a bit of a chance in a way. On the other hand, nothing to lose. So the point is, I suppose, getting into things that you don't have any idea what the outcome is going to be. And there's, you know, you got to challenge yourself. There's no way to predict what's going to happen to you, you know, when you take a chance like that. And I just thought, you know, I saw other people do it. I've coached other people in regards to doing it and going on those shows. And it's kind of like the new business model. So you've got airplay, radio play, and then you've got those TV programs which give you kind of the exposure, and people get a chance to get to know you, and it goes into, you'd have to play a lot of gigs to play to 2.5 million people.
I was going to say, because The Voice is, I guess, a great platform to get your name and your face out there. You know,
that's true, but not at all costs. I mean, the thing that attracted me to it was the fact that it did have some integrity to it.
You know what
I mean? So it's not like that was, it was a musical, you know, the point of reference was musical and vocal, you know, centric. So I thought that's the thing that ultimately, you know, convinced me to go on, because I didn't want to be, you know, you don't want to go on a show like that and get ridiculed for anything, you know. That's not how they operate. They don't do it to make you look like a fool. They do it, they're looking for genuine talent with, you know, they do this, the story thing as well. But, you know, I think the main thing is that they focus on the quality of the music. And that's, for me, most important.
Your mentor and coach was Delta Goodrum, who is, of course, is a successful singer-songwriter in her own right.
Exactly.
She obviously gave you a few tips along the way, but you must have taught her a thing or two as well. What did you teach her?
Oh, not to tell me what to do. No, it was fantastic working with her, because, you know, as you said, she's been a singer-songwriter and from a very young age, so she's gone through quite a bit, and, you know, she's had to deal with and successfully dealt with a life-threatening illness. And I think when you have to battle through things like that, it does something to your spirit. And it doesn't matter how old you are chronologically, experience is probably the most important thing. And her experience is something that I can learn from. Her perseverance and her bravery in getting through what she got through and continued to do what she loved is a lesson for everybody. So I think that spirit is something that that I can identify with, and it's completely irrelevant what age you are.
I always say that shows like The Voice and X Factor are a bit of a crash course in learning about the music industry, which you've been involved in for so many years yourself.
Right.
So you know all the ins and outs of like royalties and recording and studio and performing live.
Yeah.
But you hit the jackpot in the late 90s when singer Nana Cherry recorded one of your songs on her album, Man.
Yeah, right.
This must have opened up a lot of doors for you, not only professionally, but also financially.
I mean, I guess the main thing was it opened the doors to the bank, and that was...
Correct.
for a while.
Hi, we need that, you know, Steve.
it didn't go on forever, but the point was it afforded me a couple of years to sort of, you know, find a new direction and find a new place to live, which I was looking for. I was kind of tired of Northern Europe. I'd been in Holland for 28 years, and it was my opportunity to get away. So I basically just, it was a miracle, I'd say, because at the exact time, I was really looking for, you know, an escape route that came along, and I didn't even know it. I mean, a friend of mine told me that the song was on the album, because publishers don't have to let you know when they give your song to someone.
Okay.
They only need to get your permission if the person who's going to, the artist is going to sing it, is going to change it or, you know, do something raunchy with the lyrics or whatever. But other than that, they're happy to get as many people to record the song as possible, and they don't always, you know, notify you. You'll get notified once the thing starts to sell. So it's in everybody's benefit. So it was really great, you know, a great opportunity to get to move on. And that's what led me here.
Now, when I was researching you for this interview, I was actually quite excited because you have toured with so many amazing artists over the years with your band in Europe.
Yep.
And in January, I was very lucky enough to meet the great Chaka Khan, and she was just an amazing woman, and you've toured with her. How did that come up?
Well, it was just, you know, I mean, the thing is, I try to explain that, you know, the American, not American, but just, well, it is kind of American-centric, you know. It's like when I go to the States, you know, it's like musicians are musicians. I mean, some are more talented in some areas than in others. Some are phenomenal. But more than anything, they're all just musicians. And the thing that separates them is how many hit records they have. So that's pretty much it. I mean, there are as many talented people as, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are people that are around that are just as talented as Michael Jackson. However, if the alignment and they're not in the right place at the right time, and they don't have that history, then they don't get discovered. And they go undiscovered for years until their time comes. So, you know, you've got, for every Chris Brown, there's a Jason Derulo, you know what I'm saying? So it's like everyone, we did also a gig with Rolls Royce, and I was talking to the keyboard player, and he told me that, you know, he was pointing to the really expensive keyboards he has, and he's going like, yeah, I got that one when Car Wash came out, and I got that one when Wishing on a Star came out, and
yeah.
Each thing that he had was a direct result of a hit record. So that's the thing that separates the musicians. So when you tour with somebody like Chaka or Tina or whatever, it's just pretty much about, everybody is really cool. I mean, she was just absolutely normal, and we all hung out and, you know, went out together. And but, you know, Tell Me Something Good was hot.
Now, you mentioned Tina Turner before. Tina is one of my favorite singers. She's just such a strong woman. There's classic songs, that voice.
Yeah.
I mean, I read that you had a really cool encounter with her on tour.
I did. How did you know that?
It's called research, Steve. I do my job, mate.
Yeah, you've been doing your homework. Well, you know, the thing is, well, we toured with her, and just I didn't see her for about 3 days during that tour. We, you know, our paths never crossed. We do the opening act, and then she'd be in her dressing room, we'd go back to ours, and then we'd leave and, you know, watch the show or whatever. But one night we crossed, we were going in and she was coming out, and she stopped me and just said, you know, she said, you're the singer, right? And I'm like, yeah. And she said, there's this song you guys do, and I hear it every night, and I love it. I can't think of the name of it now, but I just wanted to tell you, you have a really beautiful voice, you know? And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
And I wanted to grab her and shake her and say, what song? Because they were all original songs that we did. I was thinking, if she really, really liked that song, maybe she'd want to record it. But she couldn't think of the name of it, and you know, I didn't want to go like, you know, was it that one?
Yeah.
And then she just kept going, you know, and then she kept going, but she did make it a point to stop and, you know, and tell me what she thought, and I thought that was fantastic. And at the end of the tour, we you know, we had a good chat, and you know, took some photos together and stuff like that. It was really great. She's extraordinarily beautiful person, and very, very, I'd say, you know, warm, compassionate, and just the nicest person you ever want to meet. I thought it would be something completely different, but she's not a diva at all.
She lives in Switzerland now, and she, I think, toured for the last time a few years ago, and I was watching the DVD a couple of weeks ago, and I just thought, you can't teach someone that stagecraft, you know. She's just
hours and hours and years and years.
Yeah.
I mean, watch her at a club called Cinnamon Cinder that when they were with Ike, and that was, I was 18 years old, and they would come in, and I mean, it used to scare me because I'd come out of the club, I'd see them all on the tour bus, and the looks on their faces, I thought, my, oh no, I said, I never want to do that. It was like, no, because it was like scary, you know, you could see the fatigue. It was incredibly, you know, and I know because I just watched the show, and then I'd see their faces on the bus as they were leaving, and it was like, oh no, that's not my gig.
I'm just going to talk about the single, because Walking These Streets is fantastic. It's thanks. A really, really, really cool track. Reminds me a bit of that song by Mr. Probs Waves a bit. It's really kind of UK sounding. I love it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really think it's a great tune. I'm really happy that we got it out. And the album's called Leave Me Dreaming. It's going to be out on the 5th. And I want to just see everybody in Melbourne come out that we can get out there, because we're going to do the absolute best we can to really kill it there. And because we love the city, and we know there's music lovers there, and we're going to try and give them everything that we can. So.
Because you are touring, of course, at the Chopin Town on Wednesday, the 10th of September, here in Melbourne, showcasing the new album. What can we expect from the new album, Steve, as far as style goes and sound?
It's a bit eclectic, and we've done some 3 or 4 songs that have never been released, and we're doing some songs that some unique arrangements of songs that people already know. So I think it's a bit of a surprise. I think it'll be fantastic.
Walking These Streets by Steve Gillespie is available right now. The new album is due out September 5. Of course, the Toffin Town is a place on Wednesday, the 10th of September, to see Steve live in concert. All the best for the new album, Steve.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I hope everybody can get out to come see us play.
And when you're in Melbourne, you must come into Joy 94.9, okay?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thank you very much.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.